Father, we just thank you for your word, and we thank you, Lord Jesus, as everything that we have done thus far here this morning, Father, we want it, and we want it to continue to center upon you. We want it to center upon your word, upon your greatness, upon everything that you have done for us. We thank you, Lord Jesus, because we know that it is by you that we are set free. It is by you that we've been redeemed, and by you that we are righteous, and that we are called sons and daughters of God because of you and because of the sacrifice that you made. And I just want to thank you for that this morning, Father, that not only that we would receive that, but we would receive the word that you have for us this morning. And just let us cultivate our minds and cultivate our hearts, Father, here this morning so that we can be that soil that produces a full harvest, Father, 30, 60, and even 100-fold harvest, Father, from the work that you have given us. And we just thank you that this seed would just bear much fruit in the lives of your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Well, you know, I always seem to, I really appreciate it because I know that the Lord deals with me in my own way, and I know that he deals with every one of you guys and speaks to you in different ways. And a lot of times when, you know, when I go to the gym over at work, you get to watch some of these different headline news things that are going across, and you just see little blurbs going across here and there. And there was one that kind of caught my eye the other day, and it was a school. I can't remember where the school was, but basically the school was starting to spank children again. And they brought that up, and then they basically give you a little line that you can either call or you can text in your opinion. So they want to know the opinions of people. And there were so many opinions on there, and I mean, that's, they can have their opinions, whatever, but there are so many opinions on there of basically who are they to tell somebody how to parent, or who are they to correct a child in that manner, or, you know, all these different things. And the one thing that came across in my heart that really just, that I've kind of noticed more and more is that we have, and it shouldn't be a surprise to any of us, but there is a significant from what I would call it is called an I culture that we have. To where it is, who are you to tell me what I can do? Who are you to tell me how I should live my life? And that is not only evident in, you can see it on TV, but you can see it in real life when, I know that I'm sure that I never did anything like this, but when, you know, when people as kids are growing up, as they're being even when they're little, they kind of give you that look of, who are you to tell me what I can do? I know that, my daughter, as sweet as she is, can certainly push that envelope a little bit. And, I mean, it's funny because even the doctor the other day, when we went in to see the doctor, he looked at her and he walked into the room and he goes, "Oh, isn't that just a little ball of orneriness?" And we were like, "Yeah, he's pretty wild," or whatever, talking about Caleb, joking around. And he goes, "Oh, no, I mean this one." And he could just see the look on her face that was just, you know, I'm going to do what I want to do. And that was just, it's funny because it is representative of what we see everywhere today, is what we see of, you know, people, you look at business culture, and business culture is saying, you know, now when you go into MBA classes or any kind of college classes, they say the norm now is not for an individual to work with a company for their whole life. The norm is for them to wait until, or as long as that relationship is mutually beneficial, they will stay there. But then when that relationship doesn't go beyond their goals, they can move someplace else. Where back, you know, 30 years ago or whatever, it was they went there and they stayed there for until they retired. It was that relationship. And of some people say, well, it just means that they didn't want to move. They're afraid of change. Well, some people might have been afraid of change, but I really feel that there was more of a commitment to, this person gave me my first job, this company, I'm going to stick with them as long as I can, and they did, and they had that attitude. And of now, it is, well, if this isn't advancing to me, whether or not this is the right place I should be, whether this advances my goals and my abilities, I don't need to be here. And it's that attitude of not being able to say, you know, You are above me. Let me submit to you. And that's why I want to talk about today is just that attitude of we receive our victory by submission to Jesus. We receive our victory in life as we submit to other people. And it is a mutually beneficial thing for every single one of us to submit. It's a nasty word because people have put so many negative spins on it because of, in the book, I believe it was of Ephesians, where he's talking about the relationship between a husband and a wife, where it says, husbands, submit to your husbands. But then it also says basically the same exact thing for the husbands by saying, husbands, you need to love your wife as Christ loved the church. What did Christ do? Christ willingly laid down his life and submitted to their needs over his own. So that is basically, in my opinion, that is basically exactly the same thing that we need to do with one another, is that we submit to one another. And that's why it tells us also in that same area is be in submission to one another, to always put the other person's thoughts and feelings first. And this is why I want to go to James chapter 3. We're going to start in verse 13 because this attitude of not only, I mean, we need to erase this attitude, if not from this whole entire world, we need to erase it at least from our lives, of this idea that me first, okay? We need to put that outside of our minds because that is one of those things that is very detrimental to the growth of a group, to the growth of a church, to the, you know, to ministry in itself. If you're not putting other people's needs first, that's not ministry, okay? Because ministry is where you are doing something to benefit somebody else, not just so you can feel good or not so that you can receive the benefit. It is for you to put that other person's needs ahead of yours. So here in chapter 3, in verse 13, and I'm reading from the New King James this morning, it says, he who is wise and understanding among you, let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your heart, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly. You see, this kind of stuff where it's bitter envy and self-seeking, the I first, the me first category that we've been talking about, this wisdom and this kind of attitude does not descend from above, does not come from God. It says, but is earthly, sensual, and even demonic. That's one thing that really kind of just screamed at me when I started thinking about that is when we are starting to be more me first, we need to understand that that is not an attitude or wisdom or, you know, or the intelligence of God coming through in your life. It needs to be somebody else first. And then we go on in verse 16, it says, for where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are. Because, not to break this up anymore, but I mean, because when we see these things, when we have self-seeking and all this kind of stuff, when he's talking about confusion and evil things, you start seeing, when people are self-seeking, you start seeing gossip, you start seeing backbiting, you start seeing all of these different things, which has been prevalent in our culture extremely because people just, it doesn't matter. I mean, you look at one of the most notable things that I saw on that headline news stuff again was, you know, the lady that was having an affair with John Edwards. And she gave an interview. I guess her first live interview was supposed to be a huge deal, like to Oprah or whatever. And one of the things that she said was, she goes, there was absolutely nothing wrong with what I did. She was like, there was no love in that marriage, and we followed our hearts or whatever. And it was just that attitude of like, instead of saying, I've loved this person, I married this person, I love them, and I'm going to be with them, because love is not only an emotional thing. Love is a choice that we have to make. And so when you enter into a marriage, that should be just it. You enter into that marriage because you love them and you want to be with them. Not saying that things don't happen, but what I'm saying is that when people have that attitude of, well, I didn't do anything wrong. Well, I never do anything wrong. I was just following what my natural instincts were. It's very revealing of people just saying, I'm going to seek my own and not worry about anybody else that gets hurt in the process. And that shouldn't be a reaction of us and the people in the church. And then in verse 17 it says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. You see, that is the whole idea that we reap what we sow. When we put those things into people's life of peace and we seek other people's good before our own, we receive those things back to us. You know, those things that it says, in peace by those who are, now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Amen? And before that, this is the one thing that's so cool about God is that the wisdom that comes from God, and this is what really shouted out to me as being a foundational thing that we should receive this morning, but it says, the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield. You see, that is the wisdom that is from God, is that we are willing to yield to somebody else. Whether or not we understand that, we need to be willing to yield to somebody else's direction. You might not fully get that, but that's one thing that it's easier for us to talk about when pastor's gone or anything like that, because sometimes if he was to preach a message like this, some people would take it completely in the wrong context, saying that all he wants is power. People like to put different spins on things. But when people that are, submitting to him want to encourage other people, that we need to do the same. Every one of us needs to submit to our pastor and submit to leadership and submit to there, because for the same reason that he has our best interests at heart. Just like God has our best interests at heart, so that we submit to God, he wants what is best for us. And so when he brings something that might be a message that either convicts you or maybe, quite frankly, will tick you off, it's probably for your own good. Because as one of my favorite quotes from Andrew Womack was, the truth will probably terrify you before it'll edify you. The truth will probably take you and put you in one of the most uncomfortable places before you really receive it and say, that's true. I need to receive that. And so I know that sometimes when Dan calls us out, don't ever be worried about that. Submit to it and go pray. Because if God has told him to call somebody to do something, he has called you for a reason for that reason. He wants you to do that. He wants you to submit to him. He wants you to yield to that. Because when we start yielding not only to leadership, but when we yield to God, we will start seeing the manifestations of his power in our lives. When we yield to what God wants, we will start seeing those things. Let's go to 1 Peter. We're going to talk a little bit more about this. And this is just talking about submitting to leaders and elders. And because I really want to get that point across is that, and then I'll give you a really good example. So in 1 Peter chapter 2, and I'll start here in verse 13. So in verse 13, it's talking about just leaders in general. It says, therefore submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors, as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God. This is what we were talking about on Wednesday night, not using the liberty that we have in Christ, specifically for us to go and live a horrible and sinful lifestyle. But it goes on in 17, it says, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. And as we go on, it says, servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. For this is commendable, if because of conscience toward God, one endures grief, suffering wrongfully, for what credit is it if, when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that you should follow his steps. He who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. Jesus did absolutely nothing wrong, and he went to the cross for us. Said, who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return? When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. He who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. You see, the life of Jesus, if you're reading through that and you just see what we're talking about, Jesus submitted to the Father. He submitted 100% when he was praying and saying, Lord, if it is possible, take this cup from me. You know, if it is possible, take this room. He goes, but nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Even though he understood that there was going to be a consequence, he understood that there's going to be pain and suffering, he still continued to go forward. You know, it is an example that we need to imitate. And it is an example, you know, Christ's whole life just centered on submission because, you know, when he had compassion for other people, and that's what it talks about when he said he had compassion on them and healed them all. When he had compassion on them and he yielded to their interest, whether or not he was willing to, or whether or not his body was ready to do that at the time, he was willing to go ahead and just press through the whole night just praying for people because he wanted to see them well and he wanted to see them healed. Let's go to chapter 5 in 1 Peter. We'll go a little bit more. And we're talking here about the shepherd the flock. This is talking about, you know, teachers and submitting to the leadership, but then also it talks about who else you need to submit to, and it's a powerful thing that if we understand this, we can see so much victory in our life. It would be incredible. And in verse 1 it says, the elders who are among you I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another, and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You see, this is not only, and that's why I want you also to see, that's why I picked this passage out, was that I don't want you to see it as being something that we submit to the leadership in a church or to the pastor, and he doesn't have to do anything but just lord it over you. This is talking about the shepherds themselves. This is talking about the leaders and the elders in the church themselves. He's saying in verse 2, it says, shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly. You know, it's not something that he does just because he's made to do it, but he does it because he loves it. And he wants to see everybody else take part into the kingdom of God. And he says, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. And, you know, we can see through the test of time, I mean, in the past, we can see how many people that have done this and that have shepherded the flocks for dishonest gain have been put out to shame. I mean, people that have done it for dishonestly wanting to gain money, wanting to gain favor, wanting to gain notoriety, generally those people all receive what they've been sowing. And if they've been doing things dishonestly, it comes out in the open and their ministries are ruined, all these different things where people claim that they've fallen from grace. But the fact is that when they are humbled, and this is the great thing, and if you look in verse 5 where it says, God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. So when people actually are brought down lower and they humble themselves to the Lord and they submit to his will and they submit to what he has called them to do, that's when we receive the grace of God. We can receive it. It's hard to receive grace, somebody's favor, when you think that you're top stuff and that you can make everything happen on your own. So it's really easy to receive the grace of God when we're humble. And that is when, so Dan not only has to submit to the Lord, just as we have to submit to the Lord, but he submits to us in a way that says, I'm here for you, not because I have to, but because I want to. because I want to see you grow, because I want to see you guys excel. I want to see you guys have victory in your life. I want to see you walk out of this place and be disciples of Christ to where we walk out and we see miracles happen at our hands because Jesus is flowing through those hands because we have yielded to his Spirit. There are so many ministry opportunities that I know that I've probably missed because I've been, you know, I don't want to do something that's just weird or makes somebody uncomfortable. Well, truth be known, it was me that was worried about being comfortable. Okay? We will never know if that person was going to be uncomfortable until I start doing something about it. You know, so every single one of us, I know that could probably have an example of that, to where we refuse to yield to the Spirit or refuse to yield to God's leading in order to do something. But when we do that is when we start to see that he will release his power through us. When we start to, you know, when we start to go to, that's why people, they wonder why when people go, I mean, there's obviously a lot of different factors. But when people go overseas, they go on missions trips or they go, you know, on a healing crusade or whatever, they go over there not on compulsion, but because the Lord has allowed them to go, they submit to the Lord, and they see miraculous things happen. There's no reason why miraculous things can't happen in Lawrence, okay? That's when we submit not only to the outside international world, but we submit to our local world. When it says we go into all the world and preach the gospel, and you know it says these signs will follow those who believe. You know, the preaching of the gospel in the Bible was always accompanied by miraculous signs and wonders. There's no reason why that can't happen today. Absolutely no reason. You know, so even though sometimes we might think, well, it might put me out of my comfort zone, it might be something that I haven't necessarily agreed with my whole life, even though those things are true, if the Word of God says so, we need to first learn to submit to the Word of God and understand that this should be our number one priority. Not saying that you read it for 24 hours a day or anything like that, but when it comes to your thoughts, you bring your thoughts, you bring your ways, you bring your lifestyle under submission to what this says, to what this tells you to do, what this guides you to do. And not only that, but when we are here, we should yield to our leadership. We should yield to Dan. We should yield to the fact that when we are submissive to somebody, we allow them to also look out for us at the same time. Because it's really hard for anybody that thinks they're going to do it on their own to understand that if somebody says something to them, that they're looking out for their own good. And when we look here in verse 8, you know, it tells us to be sober and be vigilant because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. I don't think there's any reason why, or I don't think there is any, if there's not a reason, sorry, I don't think there's not a bad reason that the up above in verse 5 where he talks about God resisting the proud. The proud is left out there by themselves, and when you're out on your own, you're very easily devoured by Satan. But when you're submitted to somebody and when you're in the group with somebody, when you are absolutely willing to go that extra mile with them, then you can have somebody else that also looks out for you to where you won't be able to be devoured by anything, that somebody will be looking out for your own good. It is a great thing to know that when you submit to other people, they are looking out for you at the same time. And I want to give you a really good example because sometimes we get afraid of being hurt. We get afraid of, you know, having some sort of either emotional trauma inflicted upon us or anything like that. We need to understand that we need to put that behind us because we need to be submitted no matter what to the ministry that God has called us to do. And I'm gonna turn real quick, and you don't have to turn there. I'm going to be in Acts chapter 16, verses 1 through 5. And this is where Timothy joins Paul and Silas. Now I want you to see what Timothy goes through because he is submitting to the leadership that he's with. He is submitting to what they have asked him to do, no matter what cost it was to him. It said, then he came to Derbe in Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain Jewish woman who believed, but his father was Greek. He was well spoken of by the brethren who were at Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted to have him go on with him, and he took him and circumcised him because the Jews who were in that region, for they all knew that his father was Greek. And as they went through the cities and delivered to them the decrees to keep, which were determined by the apostles and elders at Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in faith, increased in number daily. I don't know about all you guys, but the thing is, this was not something that was going to be very painless for Timothy. It wasn't like he was a little baby to where he wasn't going to remember anything. This was a painful experience for him. But the fact was is that he understood that where he was going and the people that knew his background were not going to accept him unless he had done something that basically showed them that he was willing to go the distance, that he was willing to say, I'm one of you, I'm with you, I'm submitting to you, you know, even though, as we know by reading the scriptures, that wasn't required of him to know Jesus. That wasn't required of him. It wasn't the outward circumcision. It was the circumcision of the heart that we now know that it is by the blood of Jesus that we are entered into, you know, into God's family. It wasn't by any of these different rites and rituals that they had to go through in order for that to happen. But Timothy knew, as well as Paul knew what was going on in the heads of these individuals. But he said, you know, if you want to come with us, we really need you to do this. You know, we need you to do this so that when we go, when they say, you guys are, this guy's uncircumcised, we're not going to listen to him. Whether it was a petty thing or not, Timothy went ahead and did it. Even though he knew the pain that he would go through, he went ahead and did it because he was submitting to that leadership. He was submitting to the ministry that he had been called to do. He said, whatever pain I have to go through, working for God and doing what God has called me to do is more worth it. You know, it is worth it to go through it. And that's where, when I see Timothy, I see that, and I think it's almost like someone saying, you need to go and, you know, just have somebody cut your arm or something. I mean, serious. I mean, it's just kind of like, in order for something to happen, you have to have extreme physical pain in order for you to go minister. And I know a lot of people just, when they come to God, they're afraid. They're like, oh, I'm afraid God's going to send me over to Africa. I'm afraid God's going to send me over to Asia. I'm afraid God's going to do something like that. Well, God isn't necessarily going to make you do something, because if he's going to have you do something, it's going to be a desire that he puts in your heart. And he's going to make it to where when you go that you will completely just love it, because God gives you those desires, but we have to submit to them. And so even though there might be pain or discomfort in the growing process, even when you're growing up and physically there's pain, there's processes, you know, bones growing, all that kind of stuff. So as we should also expect, sometimes there's going to be some comfort or growing pains that take place spiritually, because we need to grow. We need to get out of a place of just being complacent with our beliefs from the past. We need to get out of those things. We need to start saying the Word of God is true, and if the Word of God tells me to do something, I need to do it. You know, and because that needs to be first and foremost the priority in our hearts. So if we go to Matthew chapter 6, and as we turn there, I'm just going to read. I know we've been going through it so far, but I want to read the definitions that I saw of submit. And I don't want, so this is not saying that you are just, you bow a knee to somebody or anything like that, but the word submit, it says to yield oneself to the power or authority of another. And the other one is to defer to another's judgment, opinion, or decision. So it's not like we're slaves of somebody, but we are submitting, we're deferring to their judgment, knowing that they have our best interest at heart, knowing that, you know, because if I'm submitting to somebody else, I understand that they don't want to do something that just completely harms me. You know, they want to look out for me. And that's why it's one of those things that we need to understand. We need to not only submit to each other, to the leadership, but we just need to submit to God's kingdom. And there are so many things that come through that, that come through that submission that are so powerful. And it's really revealing about why we don't see complete victory in our life. Let's go to verse 25 in chapter 6 of the book of Matthew. And it says, therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add a cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. You see, that whole seeking first is just like I just read out of that definition, is where we defer to another. We defer to another. So we seek the ideas, the principles of the kingdom of God before we seek anything else, before we seek anything. And this is one thing that we need to remind ourselves and everybody that needs to be reminded of. In verse 25, the one thing that I just really love about this, it just really starts pouring out the fact that God loves us more than we can understand. And we need to understand that he does love us and that we need to press into that love. Because he says, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? And then he goes on here and he talks about just how the Father takes care of every one of his creations. And you are one of his creations. You are one of his creations. You are loved. You are deeply in his heart. He has compassion upon every single one of us. But we have to remember that these are the things that we need to be mindful of, about the smaller things that we have in this life. We sometimes think of clothes. We sometimes think of food. We think of all these things, and we put those on a bigger scale than our spiritual needs. We put those things on a bigger or larger scale than seeking the Word of God, the bread of life. We start doing these things, but he goes, Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? The body more than clothing? Is your life not more than just going day to day, meal to meal? Your life is more than that. Your life is a ministry. Your life is, you know, a relationship with God. Your life is a time where we love God, we love each other, and we enjoy it. And the body is more than just clothing. The body, what is your body? Anybody? Temple of the Holy Spirit. That's why we need to start taking care of us. We need to start doing those things. We need to start understanding that we have a higher calling than just being a body in this earth. We have a higher calling than just worrying about what shirt we're going to wear tomorrow. We have a higher calling on our lives, every single one of us. And he says, look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Do we see birds laying on the street from being hit by cars and all that kind of stuff? People don't go and bury those things. Even our if you think about it, the initial reaction that we have when somebody dies, a person dies, we feel lost. We feel compassion. I know that some feel that, but it's not even close to the degree that they feel, like with an animal. But they feel it so compassionately towards somebody. They're like, man, I'm sorry for your loss. So we know just by an inclination in our hearts that people are of much more value. So you are of much more value than these birds in the air. You are of much more value than these lilies in the fields. Every single thing is the creation of God, but we are of so much more value than that. God loves you more than every single one of those things, but yet the lily doesn't worry. The lily just sits there and grows. The lily just sits there and looks pretty. You know, the bird just flies in the air. You know, if it was like, you know, I think they said it's like the eagles, you know, when they learn to fly. I mean, if that mother was really worried, wouldn't just be kicking those things out of the nest without them knowing, you know, the mother knows. The mother knows that they're gonna get it, you know. And just like that, we need to know that God loves us and he's not going to push us off a cliff unless he knows we're going to land. I'm not saying he's going to push you off a cliff, but seriously, if he's not going to push you out of a comfort zone unless he knows that you're going to be comforted, that you're going to be, later on, you're going to be brought through that test in order for you to see that the love of God is on your life, and he just wants to get you growing. He wants to get you growing spiritually, because as you look back, when Timothy went out of his comfort zone, in verse 5, it talks about the church growing daily. So when people move out of their comfort zone to minister, the church grows on a daily basis. Okay? You think about that, because how many times do we, and I'm not preaching just to you guys, I'm preaching to myself, because there are so many times where I know that I've missed a ministry opportunity as well. But if you think about it, if every single one of us ministered to one person every day, just by the law of probabilities, we would get somebody in here. Okay? So just think about it. There's what, 25, 30 of us sitting in here? What are the chances? 1 out of 30 responds, you know? When everybody works together and says, I'm going to submit to the Lord, I'm going to seek his kingdom first, I'm not going to worry about the money, I'm not going to worry about the food, I'm going to worry about other people's needs first, God not only will meet your needs, but he will also grow the kingdom. Because it is all intertwined together, is the fact that when we lead, and we lead a life that is submissive not only to our leadership, but to other people and of other believers, we will see the church strengthen, we will see the church grow, we will see all these different things happen when we learn to get that me attitude out of the way. When we learn to get that attitude out of the way to where it's like, I can't have anybody. One of the things that I know that scares me is it's kind of like we think that we have to communicate now, and I'll tell you right now that I'm guilty of this. So before you guys launch out at me, one of the things that I know that I've got to be careful about is I have to understand that I don't have to communicate instantly with somebody. And when I say that, I'm putting my needs first to tell somebody or respond to somebody's text message or email or anything while I'm driving home from work, okay? I know none of you guys have ever done this, okay? So don't look at me like you're all holy. But I was completely scared out of my mind coming home on Friday, because as I was driving home, I'm sitting over here in the right lane, and I see this car going back and forth, and then he comes over, and his, you know, wheels are on the shoulder, and they're just riding on the shoulder. And I'm like, man, this guy's crazy. I don't know what he's doing. And so I look in my rearview mirror, and here he is. He's got his hands on the top of the steering wheel with his touchscreen phone texting. And he's just, while he's driving. And he's, lane to lane. I mean, it was horrible. At least when I do it, I stay in my lane, amen? All right. No, but seriously, so not only that, but there was that person. And then the next lady that was coming by in her minivan, she was texting while driving too. And I was like, man, I was like, this is horrible. Because we started to talk about this more and more, because, more and more people end up in accidents because those things happen. But think about it. Think about the attitude that goes along with that. It's me thinking that I need to tell somebody something, and I need to satisfy their need for information. I need to satisfy my need to take care of it now, and putting everybody else's lives at risk while I'm on the road. Okay? It's that, and I know some people might, well, that's not really the reason. Well, it is the reason that you start seeing that people want to take care of themselves first before anybody else's needs are worried about. Because if I was truly worried about somebody else's life on that road, I wouldn't be doing that. I wouldn't be. And it was very revealing to me. It was kind of like, well, that's what I'm doing. I'm putting my own need before somebody else. Because who knows? I know that, I don't drive as straight as I should when I do that. I know it. I'll admit it. I'll openly admit it. I've jacked up. But I tell you, it is one of those things to where we need to get that attitude out of our lives. We need to start saying, we need to put those things aside, and we need to start saying, I'm going to worry about somebody else's needs before my own. Because when we do that, God takes care of our needs by default. You know, he says when we seek the kingdom of God, when we seek those things, we will start to see him provide in our lives. And I'm trying to find, there we go. I want to read from, I was looking up some of these verses, and when I was online looking at it, one thing popped out to me. They had a new translation. It was called God's Word Translation. And, I mean, I know, it's kind of odd that they would call one translation God's Word, and all the other ones, I guess, are just not God's Word. But either way you look at it, I guess it's supposed to be a more literal or something. But in Matthew chapter 6, verses 33 and 30 through 36, what we've just been talking about, it says, "But first, be concerned about his kingdom and what has his approval. Then all these things will be provided for you. So don't ever worry about tomorrow. After all, tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." But you know, it really kind of, in my heart, it really kind of convicted me. It's just kind of like, be concerned about his kingdom and what has God's approval. Not man's approval, what has God's approval. What has God's approval should be our number one priority. Let's go to go back to James chapter 4 to finish this up. So not only do we submit our minds, but we submit our time. We submit, I mean, there is so much to this. Now, when we start doing that, when we start saying, I'm going to put God first, I'm going to put other people first, we start receiving the fruits of our work, and we start seeing other people put us first, okay? Because honestly, that's how it should work. If I'm putting somebody else first, they're going to put me first as well, and everybody's needs are going to be taken care of. So in James chapter 4, I'm going to read verses 1 through 10. And it says, "Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask." Sometimes we think that we just battle on and on and on to receive something from God, but yet we haven't really just asked him. Because he said that he would meet every single one of our needs. Just what we had just talked about. When we're seeking the kingdom of God and we start understanding what he's done for us, we receive all that we need. And it goes, "You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit dwells in us, yearns jealously? But he gives more peace, or more grace. Therefore he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble." See, we're saying it again, that God resists the proud, but when we humble ourselves to one another, he gives grace, and he can take care of all of our needs. Because that's where we tap into what God, that unmerited favor. Because that's what that word is. Grace is unmerited favor with God. And we receive that unmerited favor when we are humbled and we humble ourselves to him. It says, "Therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and sweep and weep." Sweep, clean. "Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up." You see, it takes submission to the Lord first before Satan will leave you. It takes submission to the Lord first before the devil will flee. It says, resist the devil, and he will flee from you, which is what a lot of people quote. They're like, "Oh, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Well, the first part of that verse tells you the reason why the devil will flee from you. Because if you submit to God, that means God is right there with you. So when you submit to him and you are doing the will of God and you say, "Satan, get out of here," he leaves because we have already submitted to the Lord. And when he leaves, these are the effects that happen down in the next few verses. It says, "Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. He will cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up." You see, I know it is a powerful thing that when we submit to God, it says right there in his word that he will lift us up. That when we submit to him, when we submit to the Lord, we can resist the devil. We can resist temptation. We can resist these things, and they will leave us, and we will turn our mourning into gladness. He will turn our gloom, you know, into joy. He will turn every single thing upside down to the results of God and the results of Jesus and of his work and of his finished sacrifice. He will return those results to us as soon as we turn them over to him. When we turn over our sickness to him, when we continue to do that, rather than receiving it on ourselves, he will take it, because he has already told us, just as we were reminded earlier in Psalm 103, that he has healed all of our diseases. He has forgiven all of our sins. He has, you know, redeemed our lives from destruction. He has done every single one of those things, but we have to receive it. We have to remember those benefits, and we have to believe upon those benefits, because, quite honestly, that is the only thing that is our part when it comes to receiving from God, is believing. Because it even tells us that God gives us the measure of faith, okay? God gives us the faith. God has given us our eyes, our minds, to put in agreement with him. He has given us through Jesus Christ and his sacrifice. He has given us the healing. He has given us salvation. He has given us deliverance. Our only part is to just put our minds in agreement with him and believe upon him. That is honestly the only thing that we have to do. And I tell you, it is a comfort knowing that I don't have to do anything but just believe upon him, which is one of the biggest things. When we believe on him, we believe on his word, we believe that his kingdom is, you know, is worth the submission, we submit to his kingdom, and everything flows better. I will guarantee you that as soon as we start putting those things in our hearts to be submissive to people and to other people and to the leadership and to the Lord and to his word, when we start understanding those things, that it is not about me first, it is about God first, that we will start seeing a revelation. We will start seeing people get set free, because his word and his love and his spirit can flow through us when we're yielded to him. It's just like the example of the, you know, of the valve on the side of the house. If you want the water to flow through that valve, you've got to open the valve. You've got to turn the dial. So if we want God's Spirit to flow through us, it is not like God is withholding it from us. Because if we've got him in us, we've got that resurrection power inside of us. So it's not God. I don't want to try to put any condemnation on anybody. But if we are not seeing the results that God promised in his word, chances are it's not God. And I don't say that because I don't want people to think that we have to work for his favor or anything, but we've just got to simply believe. We've just got to simply believe in his word and believe in what he said and know that God has us and our best interest at heart. He loves you and he loves me and he loves every single person in this world. And it says that God is not willing that anyone should perish. Okay? He has already made any type of provision for anybody that wants to turn to him. But we got to open up ourselves in order to be used and in order to allow that flow of the Spirit come out of us. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, let's just go ahead and bow our heads this morning. And while I pray, I just want you guys to just kind of have in your heart. I don't necessarily want to just lead you in a prayer. I want you guys to take this to heart, and I want you to do it on your own time. It's just to declare it to yourself that you're going to start yielding to other people, and you're going to start yielding and deferring to God's judgment and to God's opinion, what God has said about the matter versus everybody else's. Father God, we just thank you. We thank you, Lord, for your love, and we thank you, Jesus, that you have not only clothed the lilies in the field, and you've taken care of the birds of the air, Father, and of the animals in this world. We thank you that you have taken care of every single one of our needs. And we thank you, Lord, that according to your word, that if we're to get all of our needs met, we just need to submit and to seek you. And to seek your kingdom first, so that we can see those things take place. And we will put what you'd have, Father. And as that other translation had said, Father, that we would seek first the kingdom of God and what has your approval, what has your mind and what has your favor, that we will seek it before all other things, Father. And we just thank you that today that we will start to just learn to be submissive to one another so that we can be servants, so that we can serve not only you but serve one another, so that we can see the church strengthen, that we can see the church grow, that we can see, Father, the miraculous manifestation of your Holy Spirit and the spiritual gifts, Father, that you have given every single one of us. We just thank you, Lord, that we are able and that we will put our minds in agreement with the Word of God, and we will receive those things, and we will let those things be ministered through us. And we just want to praise you, Father, today. In Jesus' name, amen.